What is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin? And do you think our government is doing a good job addressing that problem? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November the 18th. We will release and discuss the results of the last installment of the fall 2011 Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll this hour on the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin. And we welcome your answer to that question, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome in Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College and our analyst for the Wisconsin Survey. She is also with the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute, which, Wendy, is the new name for the St. Norbert College Survey Center, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks again for all of your work on the Wisconsin Survey. What is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin today, according to our poll respondents?
Well, I think everybody out there can guess what that is, and it is, in fact, economy and jobs.
Yeah.
And that is 42% of people stated that that was the biggest problem.
But what was a surprise is what came in number two, at least maybe not a surprise, but this is the first time I've seen this type of an answer for the second most important problem in the state of Wisconsin.
Right. At number two came in government dissatisfaction. So that was at 23%. And as you say, when we compare that with just last spring, that was 5% of responses were about that category. Now it's 23%. So that's really the biggest growth. And in fact, last time, economy and jobs was 54% of responses, and now it's 42%. And that's really been taken up there in that government dissatisfaction.
And what sorts of things are involved with government dissatisfaction?
Well, about half of the things in there were saying that the governor was the biggest problem. And under Doyle, it's not unusual that we saw other people saying that the governor was the biggest problem facing the state. So that wasn't unusual, but there's a lot more of them now than there had been before. Other things that are in this category are looking at polarization and the sort of the fighting between parties was a big one within the category. People feeling like government just wasn't, in general, wasn't being responsive to the people. So those are the kinds of things that are in that category.
Mm-hmm. And did the whole issue over collective bargaining come up at all?
It did. Actually, that was the number six issue. 4% of people said that was the most important problem. And the thing to remember, too, is that they can only say one thing.
Okay, so and when they brought that up, they were saying either one side or the other, that was tearing the state apart, or a good idea or a bad idea, what happened?
Yeah, and they were actually split between that. Some of the people actually said that they felt that they agreed with Walker's policies, and I think that the collective bargaining, they agree with that collective bargaining policy. But most of the people in there sort of stated that either that just collective bargaining was the problem, so I couldn't really tell which side they were on. And then the other part is about a third and a third and a third saying bad, good, and generic.
Yeah. Well, so I jumped out of order here because I didn't know if a collective bargaining was actually involved with the dissatisfaction. But economy and jobs was the most important problem facing Wisconsin, according to our respondents, 42%. Then government dissatisfaction was number two. Budget and taxes was number three. And that's different from the economy and jobs.
Yeah, and that's when people are saying just saying that they feel taxes are too high, and the other part of that is spending issues. And the spending issues was kind of split between people who said that they think there's too much spending and that we need to cut more. And then that was really most of the people in the budget part of it. And then other people were actually worried that the spending cuts were a problem, that they were doing too much cutting.
Mm-hmm. And then number four, education. What are we concerned about?
Mostly there, it's about the decrease in spending.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people just said sort of education in general was the problem. So I can't tell.
Yeah.
what their problem was with
that. And health care, we're concerned about access or cuts or all of the above?
All of the above. And this is usually what we find in this category. It's really split between more people need coverage, more people need better access to it. Some people just say that the insurance is too expensive, that health care in general is too expensive. A couple people mentioned the cutting of Badger Care was a problem.
Mm-hmm. And then number six was the collective bargaining piece. Mm-hmm. Then all the rest of them were 1% or less of the total responses. And so it's sort of like everything else.
That's right, where a few people mentioned poverty issues. I thought about putting that in with economy and jobs, but we had that issue separated before,
mm-hmm.
So I kind of kept that separate, but only a couple people mentioned it. A couple people mentioned crime, but actually about half the responses in that were talking about the police officers and not being very happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple people mentioned the price of gas, senior issues. A couple people mentioned road repair is the biggest problem. Immigration, and this time only one person mentioned the environment as being the biggest problem facing the state, so that's a little bit of a change as well.
Yeah, wow. So, I mean, what do you take away from this particular exercise?
Well, it's not a surprise to anybody out there that economies and jobs would be number one, but mm-hmm. the fact that there's such a big change in the government dissatisfaction, and it wasn't all about Walker. I mean, a lot of those responses in that category had to do with general issues and the polarization of feeling that really was the biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. And we did ask how people felt about their various government institutions. For example, do we think the Wisconsin State Legislature is doing a good job or not?
Well, most of the people think they're not. Their approval rating, if you look at strongly approve and approve for the Wisconsin State Legislature, was 37%. But that's quite a bit better than Congress. Only the approval rating for Congress was 23%. So people like the state legislature better than they like the U.S. Congress. And if we remember from yesterday when we talked about the economy, that was similar, that we thought the state economy was doing much better than the overall national economy as well.
We did release the results already, our approval ratings of Governor Walker and President Obama. Do you have those handy?
I do. Yeah. So President Obama's approval rating was 53%, and the governor's was 38%. And so, remember, compare that with then 37% for the Wisconsin State Legislature and 23% for Congress. So we have more confidence and higher approval ratings for the leaders than we do for the legislators.
Mm-hmm. And you also asked about the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah, we did. We were wondering about that, and Charlie Jacobs, my colleague, is going to be doing some research on this. And we found a 46% approval rating. But what's interesting about that is that 21% were actually not sure.
Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah, so yeah. If we sort of take out the not I don't know and the not heard of, which there were 3%, and you just look at other people have an opinion about it, their approval rating is actually 61%.
Yeah, so that means that not everybody really has heard about some of the infighting going on and some of the very public disputes that have been in the news.
Right. Yeah. You know, what's interesting that people were more likely to say they weren't sure about the Wisconsin Supreme Court than they were about the Tea Party.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. And we talked a little bit about Tea Party and Occupy yesterday on the mm-hmm. program. Well, anything else from, from our most important problem and our approval ratings of our government institutions that stood out to you?
Well, I think it's very partisan. And so while we're talking about the polarization within the legislature as being problematic for people, when I take apart the data and we look at those kinds of approval ratings, and it's just very, very highly partisan. And, so again, that 20% of our sample of independents that really go back and forth, one thing that I found was really interesting with them was that they really don't like Congress. They're much more, actually, have a much higher approval rating for the state legislature, 33% approval rating, and then their congressional approval rating was 19%. But then when you look at the approval ratings for Obama and Walker, among the independents, they have a 49% approval rating for Obama and a 32% approval rating for Walker. So what we're seeing is that it's pretty even in their approval between the state legislature and Walker. But then when you look at Congress, 19% approval rating versus a 49% approval rating for Obama, at the national level, they're definitely blaming Congress more than the president.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Well, yeah. Wendy, I want to thank you very much again for all of your work. And I wanted to mention that I saw that John Nichols, who is a correspondent for The Nation magazine and also the associate editor of the Capital Times in Madison, wrote a piece for The Nation on the Wisconsin Public Radio, St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, and the results regarding the recall. And he said that that the Survey Center is the premier polling center in the state of Wisconsin. And he wasn't just making that up. An independent, analysis of the recent surveys show that that it's a pretty accurate survey.
That's true. When we were ranked by the sort of a national group, they looked at who is the closest over time, and we were number one in that. So, yeah, we're very proud of that.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science and with the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. We will welcome in another political scientist, one of our frequent guests, Eric Giordano from UW-Marathon County, in just a moment. And we welcome your answers to the question, too. What is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin? And do you think the governor or the state legislature is doing a good enough job in addressing that problem? And we'll broaden it out to the nation as well in terms of the president and Congress. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be cloudy in northern Wisconsin today, partly cloudy in the south. It'll be breezy in southern and eastern Wisconsin as well. Highs today, upper 30s in the north to the upper 40s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November the 18th. Coming up later today, it's a look at the news that's been. It's your views on the news with Ben Marins after 4 o'clock this afternoon. And it's our Friday Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. We'll have two guests from different political perspectives talking with you about all the top state, national, and international political news stories of the week. So the Week in Review after 8, your views on the news after 4. Right now we are talking about the latest and the last installment of this fall's Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. We found that Wisconsin residents say the economy and jobs, the number one problem facing the state of Wisconsin today, that's no surprise, but the number two problem, a dissatisfaction with government. And we're wondering what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will also ask our next guest, Eric Giordano, what he thinks. He is an associate professor of political science at UW-Marathon County and director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what do you think of this? That I don't think it's a surprise that the economy is the number one problem facing the state of Wisconsin, but number two, we're dissatisfied with how our government's working.
Right. Well, first, let me just congratulate Wendy and her team for another great effort in putting out the survey, which is very helpful, I think, for all of us. But yes, I mean, it's not surprising in the sense that if you just ask your neighbors, and this is why I'm really curious to hear what your listeners mm-hmm. think, Joy, people, you know, are just dissatisfied on an anecdotal level. It seems like people are just unhappy with how things are going. I guess one thing that's interesting about the unhappiness or dissatisfaction with government performance is it's fairly evenly split in the sense that Many people think that the problem is the Democrats that are obstructing the assembly from and the Senate from getting work done, and the governor. And some think that the problem is squarely on the shoulders of the government and the Republican-led state house.
Mm-hmm. So it is. We're upset with the polarization, and yet we're polarized, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think the other thing that this reflects is the intensity, because as Wendy was pointing out, you know, in the past, other things have risen to the surface, and this dissatisfaction of government has supplanted some of those more traditional answers that people give. And I think that's a reflection also of the intensity of the polarization and how people are feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a lot of callers, so let's see what they're thinking, and we'll have you react and answer. Linda in Monroe. Hello, Linda.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Giordano.
Good morning.
I think it's jobs and the economy, and that's why I'm circulating the recall petitions. I think the government has a lot to do with it. Now, I don't know if her poll defined the difference between the income and the property tax, but if we don't have jobs, we can't pay income tax, and if there's a deficit in the state, we need the jobs so that we can generate revenue to pay the taxes. And when Governor Walker got in office, he said he was going to take the sales and the income tax off the table, and then in the next breath, he said he was bargaining in good faith. Well, if you're taking two basic taxes off the table and putting all the burden on the property tax owners, that's not fair to us middle class, and I think that's why a lot of people are picketing around the world, because it seems like the 1% don't want to pay their fair share. They want to put all the burden on the middle class to pay and raise the property tax rather than the income tax, which is a more fair tax.
Well, there's a lot there, Professor Giordano, but what do you think?
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, because I would make the case that the governor and the legislators led by Republicans are trying hard not to increase the property taxes, or not to increase taxes at all. I do agree that, you know, philosophically, they've taken a stance in general that taxes are off the table. And that does make it difficult to you know, achieve budgets or to make up for budget shortfalls, and hence we see the need for cuts in things like Badger Care and in higher education, other things that many people are upset about.
Yeah, now I'm just wondering if I'm not sure this our poll reflects it, but there were a lot of complaints from Democrats that the special session on jobs did not focus in like a laser beam on jobs, and that there were a lot of other social issues taken up by the legislature. Can you give us your analysis as to whether that's that criticism has any merit?
Well, I think it's at least partially true, and I think that there were some things on jobs in there, but, you know, if you talk to the Democrats, they would say that they put forward a number of job-creating initiatives, some of which had originally been supported by Republicans in previous administrations, and none of them made it to the light of day. And so I think that, you know, we're seeing partisanship. We're also seeing some issues that clearly aren't just a reflection of jobs.
Next, we go to Jim in Green Bay. Hello, Jim.
Hello, good morning. Full disclosure, 53-year-old male, graduate degree. My understanding of government is that it is to make laws and a system. Well, it's a problem-solving arena in some ways. And so I would say the number one problem is the government and the inability to function. We're always going to have issues, whether they be the economy or the price of gas or whatever it might be. The reality is, in my life of 25 years living and voting in this state, I've never seen a legislature that did not function in the sense of being able to compromise. And I, in my life as a voter at age 53, those many years, nationally, as I look back upon various administrations and Congresses, I've never seen before nationally a government that was not able to come to compromise in areas. So that's, I think that's the overriding problem.
Yeah, well, why
we're always going to have issues, and whatever they might be. And right now, it's the economy.
Yeah, and right why do you suppose, Jim, that that the both the parties can't compromise?
Well, I mean, it's incumbent on both parties. It's a give and take. I mean, if they're I mean, when Tip O'Neill was the speaker, I mean, I couldn't see a more diverse understanding of government, than Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, but they could work together.
Yeah.
And so it's just this polarization that's taking place. So from the outset, the understanding of we will win, our party will win, Republicans, the Democrats, we will win. And what does win mean? Well, win doesn't necessarily mean the betterment of the economy, the betterment of the American people. It is egocentric.
All right, Eric Giordano, the win at all costs is hindering this ability to compromise.
Certainly, I think Jim raises a very eloquent point. And not only is it just the win at all cost mentality, it is that the costs of winning have increased substantially. And so we see an incredible infusion of money. And, of course, when you have that great deal of infusion of money, you have, greater intensity, higher stakes, maybe riskier behavior. And that sort of translates, I think, to the average voter, to me, for example, as dissatisfaction with the extremity of the viewpoints. And I do think that, to say to Jim, just slight disagreement. I mean, we've always had disagreements, and there's been some that have been very loud and very difficult to handle, even during Tip O'Neill's years. However, he is spot on in the sense that, under Tip O'Neill, even under Reagan, despite some of those difficult differences between the two, you still had compromise. You still had norms of behavior. You know, if you just go to C-SPAN, you start watching some of the hearings today, you see an incredible partisanship that permeates every single issue, regardless of whether I think the average voter would consider it as such.
Stand by, Professor Giordano. We are going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking about what is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin. Most people answering that question in our poll said jobs and the economy, but many also said it was government not working properly. We'll talk more after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is now 7:36 on this Friday, November the 18th. We are talking about the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin, according to you, and according to the latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. We have been releasing and discussing the results of our Wisconsin survey all week long. This is our last installment, and we want to hear from you. Are you dissatisfied with your government? Do you think the legislature and Congress are doing a good job addressing the problems of the state and nation? How about the governor? How about the president? We found in our survey that we think the economy and jobs, that's the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin. But number two on the list, and this is different from previous years, number two on the list, government dissatisfaction. We are not happy with the way government is working these days. And we wonder if you agree with that or if you have another problem that you would like to bring up. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Eric Giordano. He is Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Marathon County and Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. And Carol in Chippewa Falls is with us next. Hello, Carol.
Hi there. I want to report my own personal poll that I've been taking. I'm a volunteer and have been standing at the corner of Bridge and River Street in Chippewa Falls every day for many hours in the cold with a lot of other volunteers. We get a lot of people just driving up with smiles on their faces saying, I am so happy you're doing this. I've been waiting almost a year to be able to sign these recall papers. We not only are collecting signatures for Governor Walker, we're also collecting them for Senator Moulton, our local senator. And he just walked lockstep with the governor. That shows me that isn't just the governor. It's the legislature that is not standing on their own feet and listening to what their constituents are telling them. But now we're going to tell them something. We recall you.
Thank you very much, Carol. Professor Giordano, any thoughts, comments on the recall effort that's going on right now? Obviously, a lot of dissatisfied people.
Sure. Things are really heating up. Clearly, this is a movement that has been in the making since the spring of last year. A lot of momentum, and the chances are pretty good that this recall is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the recall organizers reported in the first 48 hours following the kickoff of the effort that they have gathered 50,000 signatures. They need to have 540,000 by January the 17th, and if they have that many, then a recall election is called, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Our next caller is Lori in Wausau. Hello, Lori.
Good morning.
Morning.
Your speaker briefly touched on this, but I think it deserves further attention because not enough people even think about this. But our government is inherently corrupt by money. We need campaign finance reform at all levels, and I would propose that they forbid private donations, corporate donations, PAC donations. It be funded in a very limited amount by taxpayers. And people are going to go, oh, God, no, but truly, we wouldn't have all those awful television ads on through all the election periods if there was just a limited amount of money to everybody, the playing field was equal, then maybe our governing officials could start thinking about the 99% of us they're not thinking about at all. Mm-hmm. I'll take my comments offline.
Mm-hmm. Professor Giordano?
Well, I have to say that on a personal level, I really agree with the caller. I think that money in politics has always proven to be problematic in the sense that there is a relationship between money and voting and approval of different issues. I think we've seen this time and time again. I think this is what spurred on the movement for campaign reform, you know, in the modern era. And I think, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the Citizens United decision, clearly we all understand the ramifications that we've already seen this in Wisconsin. I mean, incredible record-setting amount of money spent on just those early recall elections from the State House, and we're likely to see more records broken here with the recall election, and that's troubling, I think, for average citizens who are in an economy where we're hurting, where we're looking to raise jobs, and here we have millions and millions being spent on the electoral process.
Mm-hmm. She brought up the 99%. I mean, the whole Occupy movement, in part, is a reflection of this dissatisfaction with our government, isn't it?
I think so. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, one could make the argument that, you know, the idea of there being a 99% isn't new. So what's changed? What's caused some people to express this in a way that, you know, has them camping out, you know, all across the country? Well, first we have to acknowledge, you know, the movement is not huge in the sense that there's not an incredible number. It's not like the Million Man March on D.C. or something, but the fact that people are willing to do that, to stay there, is a reflection, I think, of how, you know, a general sentiment in the country that things are not fair. And I think, it goes back to the number one issue that people identify. It's really about the economy, I think, more than anything that's spurring this intensity.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, the Tea Party, in part, is they're thinking that the government, they're dissatisfied with government too, but thinking it's because it's too heavy-handed in our lives, right?
Right, right. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the polarization, and you really see this. I think I looked at a couple of national polls, and 51% of the nation feels that the Democrats are too extreme. 47% feels the Republicans are too extreme. And so if you do the math, you can see that most people feel that, you know, on some level, both parties are too extreme. And I think this is part of why we're seeing some dissatisfaction here.
Our next caller is Tom in Platteville. Hello, Tom.
Hi. I have another view on why we don't get anything done. And I think it has to do with the way we gerrymander our congressional and our state legislative districts so that we get these extreme candidates that can win in these districts. I think it's a shame that we allow our state legislatures to actually draw the districts. Republicans just got done with a huge gerrymandering that's going to reinforce their incumbents. And it's not just Republicans. Democrats in Illinois are doing the same thing to their districts. And so we end up with people in the middle only having a choice between two extremes. I think if I was able to sit down, I would consider myself a liberal and progressive, but I could sit down with a conservative in a half hour. We probably could reach a compromise on how to balance our budget, but then we never could get elected because of the partisan attacks that would come off from Fox News and MSNBC, and they'd all be crucifying you when you're trying to reach a compromise, which our founding fathers said, you know, without a compromise, we never would have even had the Constitution written. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure people like our founding fathers could ever win an election in today's.
Yeah, thanks very much, Tom. So does this redistricting contribute to this polarization, Professor Giordano?
Certainly it does, and especially within those generated districts themselves, in the sense that if you're able and you're in power and you can redraw the lines in a way that favors, say, one party over the other, then clearly the minority of that district are really going to feel, you know, that they don't have much of a voice in things. And I think your caller was very appropriate. It was very appropriate of him to point out that, you know, both parties have engaged in this. So this is nothing new to American politics. I would argue, though, that you might separate even that issue, or at least understand that there's another huge factor that we've talked about, which is money in politics, and the idea that, you know, if you allow unlimited campaign spending, or at least spending on issue ads through the super PACs, that also is a huge polarizing factor, and really that even transcends gerrymandering to some extent, because what happens is, you know, people are subject to this on a wide scale, regardless of where they live, and there's really no end in sight, no limit that I can see here, except people's, you know, deep pockets.
Our next caller is Josie in Menominee. Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to say that the number one... Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I would like to say that the number one issue in the problem in Wisconsin is a moral one, and I'll just give a few examples. Abortion is legal. We went on to Scott Walker, and his administration did manage to pass an abstinence education in the schools, which is really the very best and moral decision. Marriage, no-fault divorce laws should be tossed out. And homosexuals should not be bullied in the schools, but they should be shamed and punished illegally because it is a chosen immoral act. And just to close it, I would say that the Lord cannot bless a state economically that accepts evil as good. All the economics will and do fall into place when you have your morals right. And I'm very proud of Scott Walker and the administration because he's the first governor for a while who's been able to turn the tide and get things back on track.
All right. What do you think of that, Professor Giordano?
Well, I can honestly say that I'm pleasantly surprised that despite all the rancor that we've heard, you know, between Democrats, Republicans, you know, different points of view on the economy, that, you know, it seems like the sort of strong religious rhetoric on both sides, pro-religion, anti-religion, really hasn't shaped the discourse to this point, which doesn't mean that there aren't strong opinions, as we've just heard. But I feel like we've sort of moved past, at least temporarily, you know, some of the vitriol in the 1990s and early 2000s on some of these dividing issues. But they are there. They are under the surface. I feel fortunate, though, that we're focusing more on some substantive issues like fundraising in campaign elections, the economy, how we're going to improve the lives of Americans generally.
Eric Giordano is our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Marathon County, Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, talking with us about the results of our Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll on the most important problems facing the state of Wisconsin. And perhaps not surprisingly, most people answering that question in the poll said the lack of jobs and the poor economy, the number one problem facing the state. But the number two problem facing the state, dissatisfaction with how our government is working. And we're talking about why that is and maybe what could be done to make it work better, and welcoming your thoughts and questions about that. And also, if you have other issues that you think are the most important problems facing the state, they are welcome to 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And while we're talking about the problems and how our government is responding to those problems, how do you rate the performance of the legislature or Congress in dealing with these problems, or our executives, Governor Walker, President Obama? Checking the weather forecast for today, mostly cloudy in the north, partly cloudy in the south. It'll be breezy in the south as well. Also in eastern Wisconsin, highs today, upper 30s in the north to upper 40s in the south. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will talk about all the major political news stories of the week during the Week in Review. We will welcome in Ruth Conniff of the Progressive Magazine and former Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, Margaret Farrell. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we are talking with UW-Marathon County political science professor Eric Giordano about the major problems facing the state of Wisconsin and how our government is working or not working to address those problems. Carl on Facebook writes, "The most important issue facing Wisconsin? The fact that at one time Wisconsin built cool stuff like ships and construction machinery and locomotives. However, over the last 25 years, the only industries seeing growth are tourism and prisons. The loss of industry in the state has known no party line. With the great rail infrastructure in Wisconsin and location to shipping ports, there's no reason we can't, to steal a slogan, be all that we can be. The few industries that want to build here are either driven away by the DNR, taxes, or NIMBYs, not in my backyarders." Professor Giordano, a response to Carl's thoughts.
Well, I'm going to respectfully disagree in this sense. What we're seeing in Wisconsin is really something that's going on across the country. It's not just in Wisconsin. It's not just in our backyard. It's you know, a reflection of market forces, global market forces, that are very, very difficult for one state to control. And, you know, especially when you think about, you know, lower labor wages or the rising of wages in the United States in comparison to wages overseas, when you think about, you know, the increase in technology and education overseas, when you think about just the costs of doing business in Asia and needing to have production closer to the source of the consumption, you know, we see trends that are happening that are hard to control. Now, is it true that Wisconsin may be not getting as many jobs as, say, some of the southern states, which have right-to-work laws, which, you know, have much lower labor costs? That there could be a case made for that. But I think overall we're all suffering from the problem of a global economy.
Our next caller is Laura in Whitewater. Hello, Laura.
Hello. I'd like to say that I believe our state has failed the citizens by not enforcing laws that exist. Pertaining to the illegal immigrants, and also to do a better job of detecting and eliminating welfare frauds. These two items cost us a lot of money, and those laws are there, but I fail to see that they're being properly enforced.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Laura. Like, what sort of law is not being enforced?
I believe that we have laws that prevent, that prohibit illegal immigrants. And also,
all right, I get it.
People,
so just in general, even national laws. We are the failure to enforce our laws with regards to illegal immigration and welfare fraud. Professor Giordano is,
well, like in any program, whether it's, you know, of this nature, of a social policy oriented program like welfare, there's always going to be instances of fraud, and it's not a positive, certainly. And the question is the balance between investing in resources to decrease fraud, and whether the return on that investment is something that people can improve. For example, viewpoints expressed by your caller are often linked with the idea that we don't want bigger government. Well, it's going to be tough to enforce absolute compliance in those types of social programs if we don't have the sort of mechanisms allowing it. But immigration for me is a more interesting issue in the sense that you have a real sort of view. One point seems to be based a lot on the thinking of just the morality and of legal versus illegal status for immigrants. But I was talking with a few people in Marathon County, which is my home county, and it was kind of interesting because many of the agricultural interests in this county and across the state would really like to see some reform of welfare, because more and more, if they're dependent on unskilled labor, they are actually in favor of some sort of modest and moderate legislation that, on a national level, that would allow immigrant labor and immigrant labor, whether it's a guest worker type program or pathway to citizenship, to allow them to be competitive in the global economy. And so it's kind of interesting that even if you go back to George Bush, a Republican, he did favor some more moderate approaches to immigration. So you're really talking about, again, some philosophical differences, but I think those philosophical differences have some real economic impact that we need to examine closely.
Mm-hmm. Stephen on Facebook writes, "The issue affecting most Wisconsinites is a potential lack of health care. People who lose their jobs due to the economy also lose health insurance. Going bankrupt because of medical bills is a national disgrace. It shows we do not have the best health care system in the world." Comments or thoughts on how poor our healthcare system is, Professor Giordano?
Well, clearly, we're talking about healthcare, which many define as a public good. Others want to sort of put it more as a market consumer good. And I think that philosophical difference is at the root of the problems of whether people feel that healthcare should be treated as a right and available to all citizens, regardless of income and status, and others who think that on some level people need to pay their fair share. And this is a very difficult problem, and I'm not sure we're going to resolve it as we can see with all the vitriol still surrounding the Affordable Health Care Act. And, people hoping to overturn it on one side and others hoping to enforce it and expand it.
Boy, it's, we just have a couple of minutes to go to kind of wrap up here. We've got lots of callers with other problems that they want to bring up. But I'm just wondering if you have any sense as to this dissatisfaction that so many of us are feeling with government, how that might translate during an election year next year or a recall election next year.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one to think this, but I think we're going to have to buckle the seatbelt real tight here.
Yeah.
And hope the airbags are going to deploy. I'm kind of curious to see what happens afterward. If for example, Obama is able to hold his position as president, if the Democrats at least control one house of the Congress, if maybe they regain control in one of the houses of the Assembly or Senate here in Wisconsin, or if it goes the other way and Republicans sort of expand their mandate or at least maintain it, will that end the sort of incredible partisanship and serious divide? And a lot of people are sort of want to see what the outcome is going to be. The question is, will it just increase the efforts on the other side, on the losing side, if you will, to continue to fight in ways that I think many of us find, extremely extreme and distasteful? Or are people going to settle down and say, okay, let's try to come up with some sort of status quo ability to operate, together civilly? And I don't have an answer for that.
Well, we'll check back with you next year, and we'll talk about it more.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah. Eric Giordano, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Marathon County, Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. If you would like to take a look at the results of our Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Wisconsin survey, all of the results are posted on our website at WPR.org, from how we feel about the recall to the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin, which we just talked about. today. That's at WPR.org. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Amanda Magnus, and to Rob Ferret for producing these programs. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.